Accession number 18801, reel 4.
Mr. Vic May, reel 4.
Superintendent here. The effort made by African troops in Burma and the war effort in general is not as well appreciated as it might have been. There were 19,000 East African troops in Burma. There were 27,000 West African troops in Burma. And their casualty figures were 858 Africans known to have been killed, and well over 4,000 African troops in total killed, wounded, or missing, or prisoners of war. Now, I think that compares with Indian and European troops, and I can't speak too highly of the effort made by Africans in Burma. And I think they're a jolly fine crowd, and I'm very pleased to have been with them. That's all. Well, during my time in Burma, I was able to write letters to my parents at home, and of course they were naturally anxious about me as I was an only child, and they in turn wrote to me as often as they could. Because letters had a habit of going astray, the system was to number each letter consecutively. So the first letter in any one year was number one, and so on, number two, number three, number four. And then one would be able to tell if a letter had gone astray. But quite frankly, I think no more than one letter of mine going or receiving had gone astray. It really was excellent. And at the end of the war, we were actually getting local newspapers. I was getting Berkshire newspapers, and I think it was the Weekly Times sent out by post as well, by seamail, and that was arriving quite well, and we were quite pleased in sort of late November, December 1945 to have this communication with home. I might also mention that because of rationing, in my service in Africa, I was able to send home food parcels, and I did that in two ways. I left some money with a firm called Stutterbutt in Cape Town, and they sent a food parcel to my parents in Berkshire every month. It was usually sugar, dried fruits, tinned food of some sort or other, all things that they thought would be useful. And they sewed it up very carefully in a kind of sacking and stuck a label on it, and nearly all those food parcels arrived. And I even sent a few food parcels from Rhodesia, because there was no food rationing in Rhodesia. And of course they were very grateful for this food rationing, for this food additional to their rations, which they were able to swap around with friends and relations as well. But the communications home, I thought, went very well. Except during that one period when the war in Europe had ended and we felt a little bit lost and forgotten, especially as we were still short of equipment and ammunition, and we knew there must be lots and lots of equipment and ammunition in Europe, surplus to requirements, that could have been sent to us, and it didn't come. And even vehicles, I think in the whole brigade we didn't have more than about a dozen three-ton trucks and perhaps 15 jeeps for 3,000 people. At one stage, we had a mule company attached to us when we were on jungle tracks, and I was allotted half a mule for my intelligence box, one half. The mule was loaded with packs on either side of its saddle, if that's the right term. On one side was my intelligence box that was full of maps and intelligence pencils and things that I needed. And on the other side was a charging thing for the brigade headquarters radio. And the mules did a jolly good job as well, going through jungle tracks. And we were very pleased to have them. And we got quite attached to those mules. And it seems rather a shame that they were all destroyed at the end of the war, as far as I know. Well, my appointment with 22nd East African Brigade ended in February 1946. I sailed from Rangoon back to England on the P&O liner Corfu. I landed in March 46. I went straight to Reading University and said, what about this education course? And the professor, Professor Bonder, said, right, you come back tomorrow, you can join in the last half of the present course, and then you'll have to do the first half of the next course. So within a few days of landing, I was back at Reading University studying education. I finished in December 1946, applied for one job, I think, which was in the Godalming Grammar School. The appointment was in, the interview was in October 46. I was offered the job, and the strange thing was that at the interview, a lady who was chairman of the governors, whose name was Miss Fearon, had also been a governor of the school State de Ruff that I'd been teaching in Hazelmere in 1938-39. So I got the job, and I started there in January 47, teaching mathematics with a little bit of science. I got married in 1950. The housing situation was very difficult. There were no houses to buy, because houses hadn't been built during the war. There was a standstill, and lots of houses had been bombed and hadn't been renovated. So I lived in digs and a furnished flat. And we still saw no hope of being able to buy a house of our own. So I applied for a job in East Africa. They called the post education officer, although in fact it was teaching. So in August 1952, I was appointed education officer in Kenya. My task was teaching at the Duke of York School, Nairobi, which was a European boys' school, a boarding school run on public school lines, and it took boys from all three territories, Kenya, Uganda, Tanganyika. Some were sons of colonial officials, some were sons of farmers, and some were sons of diplomats. So we had French boys. And I became an assistant housemaster and a housemaster for a time at the Duke of York School, Nairobi, which now exists as the Lenana Boys High School. Lenana was a Maasai chief, I believe. August 55, I returned to England, hoping to get a suitable job and accommodation. One reason was that the Mau Mau troubles had started in Africa, and my parents and my wife's parents were getting increasingly worried about our safety. Throughout the Mau Mau period, I was on security duties in the school as well as teaching. I had taught almost always with a loaded pistol in my pocket, and I slept almost every night with a pistol under my bed. Not that I ever used it, but I was prepared to use it if necessary. Unfortunately, we didn't have any Mau Mau troubles, although one or two of the older boys who had left while I was there and joined the Kenya regiment were casualties fighting the Mau Mau. We didn't feel at all restricted during the Mau Mau period. We travelled to the coast, I went up to the Kenya Highlands, went to Uganda, I went up to the north of Uganda, almost to the Sudan border, on trains, lake steamers, and car, had a Morris Minor car, and we travelled really without thought for our own safety, but I always had my pistol with me, just in case. We returned in August 1955. There was no vacancy at the Godalming Grammar School at the time, although I'd been seconded for 3 years, so I applied for and obtained a post at St Albans Boys' School in Hertfordshire. I taught at St Albans School for 2 terms and then back to Godalming, where I continued teaching till my retirement at the end of December 1979. End of story.